using science to debunk myths. From the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Sky Dragon Slaying. Today's guest is Dr. Elsa Scheider, psychologist and truther. We're talking about elements of the truth movement that we need to talk about now. The effect of evil on society, you know, truth to light, you know, bringing out light to the darkness. We have to fight the darkness, don't we, Elsa? We have to deal with the problem of evil in our ruling elite.
I really would like to talk about this because I know that most people have a hard time saying the word. They go about, they do know about all the people dying from the vaccine, and they go, it's so sad. Well, it's actually evil. And over, I get the word, the lockdowns, it was a mistake. And for me, in April 2020, when I heard the first interview that let me know about the suppression of an effective treatment for the C virus, I went, there is evil going on. And by the way, I had a hard time then with the word. I had to say it's bad. And I listened to an interview with Zev Zelenko, and he was being interviewed by Rudy Giuliani. He had treated 500 people 1 month, zero deaths. What? Four people did go to the hospital, only oxygen. Next month, another 500 people treated. And by the way, he wasn't treating the people who were under 60 or had no comorbidities. Only serious, you know, another 500 people treated. There was a death. The person had leukemia. Okay, so occasionally this virus could kill somebody. And what that made me aware of, there is somebody was wanting people to die. Somebody's, whatever, some force was setting things up. So we died. And then there were the lockdowns and all these things. And if you listen to the coronavirus, the grand jury, which I did all 20 hours, there is just overwhelming evidence. Truly strong evil is happening. All the people who have died, like 85% of the people who've died from the virus could have been saved with hydroxychloroquine, budesonide, ivermectin, or several other substances. All the extra suicides, all the job losses, all of this. So it's like really having to face for the first time in my life, like when women didn't have the vote, I didn't feel that the people against it were evil. They just believed in the, you know, Eve started the bad stuff, and so women shouldn't vote. But I didn't think that the people were evil. Now I was going, there is really evil afoot. And so, by the way, I also think that if you let people, make people aware of it, this might actually help mobilize people. I don't know if it would or wouldn't. But anyhow, that's just a thought. That was my thoughts, and now everyone else.
Well, yeah, my thoughts tend to go to the scientific evidence. I mean, I obviously posting content on Principia Scientific every day. We post 10 or 15 articles a day, and among them, last week, we posted an article from Steve Kirsch, a survey showing that 500,000 people killed by the COVID vaccine so far. You know, in any normal paradigm of reality, you find that when 50 people have died from a vaccine trial, they end the trial. But here, half a million are dead, and yet nothing is done to stop these vaccines. Well, they're not even vaccines, are they?
No, they're injections.
Yeah, they're technically gene therapy. Joe Olson, you've done a lot of research on this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you said, Elsa, earlier that I think currently 250 elite athletes have dropped dead.
Over 400, I believe, by now.
400 now, 400.
Yeah, the video I had one with about 300, and then now I think it's gone over 400. And there was a tennis match where 15 of the tennis players couldn't play, including the two star people. They were like collapsed and vomiting all over the tennis court and bowed out because you can't vomit and play tennis at the same time. I mean, all of this is so totally in your face, so that both it shows the mind numbing, but to me, it also shows whoever is doing this knows that they are numbing people so they will Pied Piper go to the edge of the abyss and drop over. And so I really have a sense of, yes, we are dealing with true evil. We are not only dealing with greed. We're not dealing with, it's really changed my view of things. So I don't know exactly what we do about it. I just say one thing we have to do is also get the word out. That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. And if you're not dying from these COVID jabs, you're suffering severe mental health issues, aren't you? The unspoken epidemic here is the idea that, especially amongst the young, their future is being destroyed, isn't it? There's no hope.
Yes.
If you're a young male or young female, what do you do? What have you got to look forward to? All you can see is the older generation piling more and more debt for the future generation. People are giving up.
And then within a year or two, it is likely going to start coming out on the massive fertility issues. So many people look forward to having children. So what if about half or 80% of people cannot have children? What's going to, I mean, this is going to be a really, you know, having a dog and a cat is great and I love them both. On the other hand, what, you know, there's the young people have so much that they're going to have to face. And what I think it needs, you know, my background, my PhD is in psychology and I love knowing about people. I think what it really calls for is training a lot more mental health into people. No, not training. It's like instilling the qualities of mental health, mental strength. And there is a very short thing that I love, the 12 rules for survival. Because they went and they looked at who survived a plane crash, who survived a sinking of a ship, who survived an extreme situation where most people died. And they went, it isn't because those people were less injured. They looked at what were their mental qualities. So my remedy, in fact, a remedy is that we need to massively encourage, not like, you know, be positive, but really develop the kind of mental strength the heroines had that I loved when I was a child. And I'm going to say one word for something that I have done. I have another site I've set up, Full Flourishing, on what we need to flourish fully, including what qualities need in ourselves. Also how we need to perceive outwards. We need to be logical as well as have our emotions, et cetera. So, well, you can expect it from my background that I think that we need to put a lot of emphasis on healthy psychologies to make people willing to stand up against the dragon slayers.
Mm. Yeah, it's very important that standing up is important. And another thing we need to talk about, I feel, is the fact that most people, they've got false gods. And, you know, the social media, you know, I feel young females, I mean, it might be wrong, but I feel young females are all going over to OnlyFans. It's all about shallowness. It's about superficiality. Young men, they don't look for relationships now. They're playing with the Game Boys, PlayStations, Xboxes. It's a disconnect from the family life. Family life, family values is under attack. Everything is taken over by government. You know, I feel that big government is getting bigger all the time. And, you know, the bigger the government gets, the more unhappy the people.
Yeah, and all these games that people play, I'm not talking psychological games, they're incredibly addictive. I don't know if you've ever played any of them, but many years ago, I was really stressed out. Like, it was just too much. And I started playing some of those stupid little computer games. And after 3 days, I found I didn't want to stop. And it was like, I really didn't want to stop. I did it just like, I got to get away from this. This is just the situation outside was too much. But then it was like, I had addicted myself to them in 3 days. And I asked for these games to be taken off the computer because otherwise I was going to play them. And so I'm thinking one of the things that we're talking about is an incredibly addicted population. So sorry, like I am an optimist, but I am aware of the horrors that we're facing, and that is a big one.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be optimistic, you've got to know what the challenges are. You have to have targets to address, haven't you? You've got to kind of know what your enemy is and how to face your enemy. And you know, smartphones are preloaded with games. I mean, I see it. I walk down the street and I see young people with their heads bowed, you know, engrossed in their smartphones. oblivious to traffic, oblivious to each other. And, you know, it's a tragedy, isn't it? It's a tragedy that social discourse is on the wane. People are deliberately fragmented. It's the old military issue of divide and conquer, and it does work very well. And I think we've been played. You know, the psychological warfare upon us is almost complete.
In fact, I do wonder how many of us will survive. I really work as much as I can, like with neighbors and people I talk with, et cetera, waking people up, et cetera. But I'm going with some of these extremely addicted people, and with they think that the really brain numbed are about 20 to 30%. Other people are like some people I know are somewhat numbed. And then there are the 10 to 30% who are very awake. I wonder how many people are going to survive this. Is this something that because I wonder, okay, they've had their shots and their boosters and their immune systems are down. You know, will they recognize that danger they're in? Because will they do something against the spike proteins, or will they just go further and further into the trap? And then I go, for those of us who are awake, how do we stay psychologically healthy and not get burned out? So I say to myself, you're responsible for yourself. I will do what I can. But if you have let yourself be injected, et cetera, no matter what the pressure, I cannot sort of burn out because I care about you.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah. I'm an eternal optimist. I always think there's an answer. I think human ingenuity has got us where we are today. I mean, I feel that we have something ingrained in us that we were always trying to strive for something better. We don't quit, do we? I'm not going to say we're all going to follow Darwin, but the idea of the survival of the fittest, it does kind of bear reality now. I think those who knuckle down and take on the challenge, they're thriving. And I feel that
yeah.
A good example is TNT radio. I mean, that was a product of enormous strife, the corruption of the mainstream media. Elon Musk, is he a force for good? I don't know. You know, but people are getting behind that, aren't they? People are getting behind that. And people want to be optimistic. I think they want to find new leaders. They want to find a new direction. Sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's religious. It's you know, you pay your money, you take your choice. I'm not conventionally religious, but I felt the past 2 years my spirituality is growing, and I do feel common purpose with yourselves, people like yourselves. A new community is growing, and I think the internet is a wonderful thing. A platform like TNT Radio is another catalyst for that kind of growth and spawning of a new kind of community. We have to reach out and find a way, and we're brainstorming ourselves here, trying to find, you know, where do we find a path forward. But sometimes you just keep muddling through, and you know, those who seek will find. And people who look to the Bible, they're not wrong, are they? Because sometimes, you know, wisdom of the ages will come to your rescue. Joe Olson, what do you feel about that? Do you feel that there's an upsurge in religious feeling, or do you feel it's just going to be a passing fad?
Well, let's get to the subject of personal empowerment, and how can you extend that to empowerment of a larger community? I had been writing articles online about global warming and a bunch of other things for about a year and a half, and John and I had a lot of contact because he was writing at some of the same places I was. And then just kind of out of the blue, September of 2010, he said, I've got several guys that want to write a book. Would you like to contribute a chapter to it? And it's like, oh my God, a lifelong dream. I get to play like I'm an author for a while, even though I'd already had like 40 or 50 different articles written and published at multiple websites, Drudge Report, Breitbart, on and on. And so I said, yeah. And so our book, Slaying the Sky Dragon, was released as an ebook in November of 2010, and then printed in England in December, printed in the U.S. in January. And after two or three months, we realized that even though This is a three-sided debate on climate between the big warmest, the lukewarmest, and the no warmest. And the no warmest included all of the authors of Slaying the Sky Dragon. And we were empirically, provably correct using traditional science that we could argue against any college professor anywhere in the world as being correct. But we were being ignored. So John said, it looks like we've hit the end of the road. What can we do? I said, well, the only way we can do this is fix bayonets in charge. If they won't let us have a publication site or a research journal, let's create our own. And so that's when we created, along with the other co-authors of Slaying the Sky Dragon, Principia Scientific. Now we've got, what, 6,000 members, John, and millions of views per month? And every day I open that thing up, I see 10 or 15 of the most uplifting, thought-provoking articles possible. So here's two guys that 10 years ago had nothing going other than a book that wasn't selling. And we said, there's got to be another way to get truth out. And so we doubled our efforts, and we've just been very determined and very moral about what we do. We screen the articles exclusively for what we can verify as being true, but we also allow alternative viewpoints. And so we've tried to be the forum that we wanted the internet to be, where truth would rise up and people would be able to go, and it's working for us. And that's why we're on TNT right now, is because of the power of that website. And we don't know where this can go from this. We could end up having more talk shows. We could end up having TV Zoom shows. Who knows? We could end up teaching classes, doing seminars. I've got great series at BitChute with Dr. James Fetzer. I've got an 8-part series, which is an absolutely wonderful tutorial, AGW 1-9, for anybody that's trying to homeschool gifted high school students or college students on real scientific thought, particularly on the global warming issue. And so
let's pick up that thought after the advertising break. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
You've always been associated with the left and the progressive movements. Why is it that you can see some of these infringements on liberty and civil rights, but many of your peers cannot, and actually detract from you for doing so?
Yeah, that is a great and timely question. I just want to note that, you know, as I said a minute ago, in the United States, for sure, it's the left doing the bad things, and conservatives and libertarians are up in arms and the left isn't. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, in Britain, it's the same script with a conservative leader, Boris Johnson. And in Australia, it's an even worse place down the line of fascism, you know, also with conservative leadership. And in Canada, it's liberal leadership with the same script. So these are transnational, transpartisan scripts now coming from above the level of nation states, above the level of parliaments and, you know, congresses.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The United States government has declared you an enemy of the state. For the first time in history, a foreign journalist has been charged under the U.S. Espionage Act for publishing truthful information about war crimes. If convicted, our right to free press is over. We have been led to despise the journalist charged by a massive smear campaign directed at both the left and the right, yet his record speaks for itself.
He's the only journalist to have never gotten it wrong.
The charges are opposed by all major human rights and free press organizations, but our once trusted news outlets have failed to inform us. It is not too late. We can demand the UK stop the extradition of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. We can demand the Department of Justice drop the charges. Call UK Home Secretary Priti Patel at 020-7219-3528 or call the Department of Justice at 202-514-2000. They are not after him. They're after us.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, veterans strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hi, welcome back. We're getting upbeat now. We're talking about the waking up of the population. And in Principia Scientific International, last week we published a survey. 65% of Americans have actually refused to take any more COVID jabs. Study shows that 18% of Americans have had no COVID jabs. And it's looking as if that COVID fiasco is coming to an end and people are saying no more. So we are waking people up. And COVID is one thing. Joe Olson, you referred to the global warming nonsense. I think it's fair to say that world governments have kind of abandoned that. That's why they turned to the COVID scam, didn't they? So everything they're trying to do is about depopulation, to try and get us to hate each other, to divide us by ethnic origin or religion or whatever, gender, you name it. And it's not working as much as they hoped, is it?
Well, they've got plenty of other vectors. Now they're fixing to drop the Marburg and the monkeypox on us. And then there's about a 10-week supply of wheat worldwide at this point that's been distributed. The rest of it's stuck in Russia, where we've got export restrictions, and in Ukraine, where Russia is not allowing them to export. So we're facing a worldwide famine. Interesting thing, they said that the British fish and chips may no longer exist because the major oil that they use was sunflower oil from Ukraine, which they can't get. 40% of their haddock that came from the fish and about 40% of their potatoes were sourced from Russia. So it's like, if you can get fish and chips, it's going to be the most expensive dinner you ever had. So when that starts to happen, when people are starting to get really hungry, then they're going to really question their leaders. And I think the same thing that happened when Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. I think that's what the world leaders are realizing is going to happen to them in a really short order. So we've had, 2 years of solid yellow vest protest in Paris every weekend. Expect that to get a lot worse. And there's no place for these people to hide anymore.
No, poor old Klaus Schwab. When the
but I believe that they have engineered the food shortages.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So they
absolutely
want them. So they want it because they so they're not afraid of them. They want to use them, probably to turn against those of us who are preparing and stuff. So I don't think it'll succeed. I hope it won't succeed, but I don't think it'll wake up people. I think, in fact, hungry people are frightened, panicked, easily corralled, et cetera, will go on rations of crickets, et cetera. So these food shortages, I see that they are, we are being told they will happen and we are going to make, I think they're just another means for coercion. But in terms of how do we deal with things, what I liked what you said, Joe, you take one step at a time, one step and you never know where it goes. So I lead my life a lot that way. Okay, what's the next step? Oh, I got invited to this in, fabulous. That's the next step. I don't know where the step after that is. But over and over, when I take one step, the next one appears.
Yeah, I think it's a good philosophy. And I think you can't look too far ahead, can you? And I think that's why a lot of people get comfort from religion. I think that, rightly or wrongly, if you believe in your God, you live longer. And that isn't just a glib statement. That's a scientific fact. It's been proven that those who have any kind of religious foundation in their life, they do tend to live longer and happier and healthier lives. I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. Raised as a Catholic and I abandoned my religion when I was a young man. And now I'm past my 60th birthday. And I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something in this after all. And I don't belittle people who get comfort from religion. And I think that somehow you do kind of look to other alternatives, don't you? You're not going to find it watching TV. You're not going to find comfort in changing your gender. A lot of unhappy people there want to have a cosmetic surgery. They think that's the secret. Going on dating apps, trying to find the love of their life. You have to look from within, don't you? Look inside yourself, and that's where you start. And you're right, Alistair. I tend to agree that we have to be autonomous beings. It's also the other word is sovereignty, self-sovereignty, abrogating responsibility to the government. It's not working, is it?
I also don't personally want to abrogate responsibility to religion. But I do believe it is incredibly important to have faith, like in humans, in a potential outcome, in the cosmos, in something. And I will just say that I did not grow up in a Catholic family. I grew up in a family that had left religion a generation before me, but was incredibly moral and ethical. So my religion is ethics. And I believe if I didn't have a solid ethics, then maybe I would just be rudderless. So I believe we each need a deep, abiding rudder. And it can be a religious rudder, or it can be, it's important I do something with my life rudder, or and I can do something. But I do believe yet those things make you autonomous. Those things give you a raison d'être. And I will say another thing in terms of, yes, when we look outward at the world, so much is going wrong. But virtually everybody I know who is like-minded says they feel better than they did 5 years ago or even 2 years ago. They feel stronger, more centered, healthier. They have better friendships, better relationships. And I'm going, now that's a really interesting thing. Mm. So yeah, I don't know about you. Do you have better friendships? Do you feel stronger in yourself?
Yeah, definitely. And I think something I've picked up on is the idea that I'm taking more responsibility for my health. I mean, I'm more skeptical of allopathic medicine. I a lot of people are learning through the pandemic that we've been conned, haven't we? We've been told to take these potions, and these potions are really just profiteering the rich and not doing our health any good at all. Joe Olson, you've done quite a bit of work on that yourself. You've been exposing this nonsense with me.
Oh, yeah, it's been fun. I attended over 30 Stop the Steal and Open Texas rallies last year, and I've been to dozens of health rallies and anti-vaccine rallies, and I just got out of one today that started at 10 o'clock this morning and actually ended right after the show started, so I ended up missing the last few minutes. But there is no safe vaccine, and so when I was a kid, autism was 1 in 20,000. It was very, very rare. And the only vaccines we had was a smallpox vaccine, which I still have the scar on my shoulder from, because they just rubbed some ointment on your arm and then pricked it a bunch of times with a needle, and a polio vaccine. And that was all we had. And we got natural immunity by going to parties in the summer and catching chickenpox, mumps, German measles, and red measles. So you had to catch all four of those during the summer so that you didn't miss any school. You'd go to parties with sick kids that you'd never met before, play with them for a couple of hours, go home a couple of days later, you'd be sick, and a bunch of kids you never knew before came over and played at your house for a little while, and then they went home. But now it takes 72 vaccines before you can get into kindergarten. They are jabbing infants before their first taste of breast milk with a hepatitis shot. This is absolute insanity. There's no documented case of an infant ever getting hepatitis unless the mother had hepatitis going in. But other than
it's not insanity. It's evil. It's evil.
It's evil. It's evil. Let's admit it. Yes. The people that are running these pharmaceutical companies are evil.
Absolutely. It's not insanity, because insane people hear voices and stuff that aren't there. But these people are not. These people are, and you're so right. It just makes it, the amount of evil and the amount of stuff that is being done is just staggering.
Right. It's no longer evil. It's purposeful when you realize that we're what they're doing. You know, and the same is true with climate alarm. It's no longer evil. It's no longer stupidity. It's actually purposeful intent. They're fully aware of what they're doing.
Yeah, that's evil.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Well, I mean, we call it evil to them. It's good because they have their own plans. You know, it seems to me that we are, you know, you can be likened to basically an attack. There's an attack happening on the human race and on planet Earth itself. They have plans. There seems to be plans to deplete the atmosphere of carbon dioxide, which would mean wiping out all life. While those plans are in motion, we're being injected with all these vaccines, which are, yes, destroying consciousness. Consciousness develops through the acquisition of language. And so these the vaccines, which are targeting language centers, making it so that little boys especially have these speech developmental delays, that directly equates to a reduction of consciousness. Consciousness is being destroyed. When you can't acquire language, you cannot develop consciousness. So humanity is being destroyed at the level of consciousness, at the level of our mind, genetically through all, you know, now we're being injected with, DNA modifying viruses. You also can look to explanations for this rise in transgenderism. I mean, yeah, it's social engineering just through media, mass media brainwashing in the schools. But yeah, I think there's probably also an effect just from environmental damage due to vaccines that's just screwing people up internally. Yeah, we are under attack. The whole planet is under an attack. It's almost like it's an alien takeover effort, and they are playing the long game. Because they can play, you know, the game that lasts 1,000 or 2,000 years to get their job done. They don't want to do it too quickly, but ultimately they're using us to destroy ourselves. Well, yeah, certainly they seem to have their players in positions, at the head of the pharmaceutical companies and, the scientific institutions as well. It seems to be a pretty sophisticated effort. I think at this point, you guys are right what you're saying. At this point, we can no longer say that, you know, when we first got into the climate alarm thing, it was like, oh, wow, these people are making such stupid mistakes here. It's really obvious how to, where you guys are going wrong. And it's like, oh, wow, they're really not listening to this. And it took like 10 years for me to figure out, are they just this stupid? And then it's like, no, they're actually doing this on purpose. They actually literally are purposefully planning to deplete carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. What's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is the end of all life on Earth. Because that's where life comes from, is carbon dioxide in the atmosphere with photosynthesis. So when you look at the scale, you simply have to look at the scale, right? And it's daunting. I mean, this is a new territory. We've never been here before. We have movies about it, but we've never thought it was serious. But we have to look at the scale of this. What scale of enemy are you dealing with when the human genome is being destroyed and there's a plan to deplete carbon dioxide from the atmosphere? You got to look at scale. What scale is equal to that? Well, the scale that's equal to that is equivalent to some sort of an alien invasion or some sort of planned extinction level event. So who would plan that? Who would plan something like that? And
you made a good point, Joe Posner. You said before, I mentioned in a previous episode, I talked about eugenics, eugenesis, Malthusianism, and you said, well, no, it's dysgenics. It's dysgenics. That's even worse than eugenics, because they're not trying to refine and improve humanity. They're actively trying to cull the herd and culling the herd to such an extreme sense that they are, you know, taking away our very souls, aren't they? I mean, by implants, Elon Musk, you know, we've berated him, we've praised him on different things. You know, he's warned that the artificial intelligence, transhumanism, is the greatest threat to humanity. And I think we're sleepwalking into a catastrophe. And, Hollywood is very good at making these disaster films, but I think they're pretty prescient, aren't they? When you feel that we're very near that time when the Terminator will be coming out to get us. Joe Olson, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, part of it's predictive programming. They definitely have given us all of the science fiction horror stories imaginable, and every one of them is terrible. And it could only be a demonic spirit that could be this hateful of all of the rest of humanity. You know, before it's been one tribe or one nation against each other, but this is the leadership of the world turning against all of the population of the world. And the only real bright spot is that Putin is pushing back. And now it looks like there's going to be a pretty substantial, looks like five-sixths of the planet, like the Five Eyes are only one-sixth of the planet, and Europe is another sixth. So it looks like we've got a substantial, two-thirds of the planet that's not going along with the Russian embargoes, and they're agreeing that they need to set up an alternative monetary supply. And when you have an enormous amount of inflation, Trump had $7 trillion of deficit spending during his 4 years. And Bobby, or FJB, whatever you want to call him, he's had $7 trillion in just the first year and a half. So you know, the bottom line is they can keep printing money and the money's going to just become more and more worthless. What part of Zimbabwe or Weimar Republic do you people not recognize? So they're going to financial collapse along with every other portion of the civilization collapse that they're trying to pull off on us. And we don't deserve this. We honestly don't. And, you know, all we can do is just keep trying to wake people up one PC and one brain at a time, one TNT radio program at a time, and just make people aware of how bad things are and how many things we need to change in order to correct this stuff and who needs to be punished. Because these are absolutely, like the name of the tour I went to today, crimes against humanity. The evidence is unequivocal that it's been planned for centuries.
But we've only been finding out very recently, like over the last few years. Even people as bright as Catherine Austin Fitz, etc., she only found out 10 or 20 years ago. So that's the good point.
We'll pick up the conversation right after this advertisement break.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
How will current decisions in the US Congress affect the outcome of the midterm elections? Consider that as Americans struggle in the current economic crisis, most members of the US Congress appear to be oblivious and have voted in favor of a $40 billion so-called security assistance package for Ukraine. Across the entire Congress, all Democrats voted in lockstep with the Biden administration. Most Republicans joined in, 149 in the House and 37 in the Senate. But 57 House Republicans dissented, along with 11 Republican senators. This Republican minority will be cheered by many Americans who are sick of participating in foreign wars, particularly one that risks nuclear war with Russia. So far, the primary election results indicate that opposition to US involvement in the Ukrainian conflict is a winning strategy, but most in the Congress have aligned with the military-industrial complex. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Need an electrician.
Do you need police, fire or ambulance?
No, I just need an electrician. I've got a couple old crappy PowerPoints I need to get changed
Look,
over.
Look, I'm sorry. I can only connect to the police, fire or ambulance.
I need to talk to an electrician.
This is for emergencies only.
This is an emergency. I'm moving into the house and I need to get an electrician to change these PowerPoints.
Triple Zero's sole job is to connect you to your nearest emergency service. So please, stay relevant and save Triple Zero for urgent assistance only.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The 9/11 terrorist attacks shocked the world and led to the so-called War on Terror. But there's another side to 9/11, which the mainstream media won't cover. For several years, more than 3,000 qualified professionals at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth have demanded a proper investigation into 9/11. A genuine investigation into 9/11 would consider evidence that the World Trade Center towers were rigged for controlled demolitions. This includes the third building that collapsed on that fateful day, Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper, which dropped in under 7 seconds, yet no plane crashed into it. This is particularly troubling, as Building 7 was probably one of the most secure buildings in the USA, with the US Secret Service, Department of Defense, and CIA among its tenants. Who would have access to rig a controlled demolition? TNT Radio will cover this story to find the actual perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks.
As Joe Biden negotiates his way out of the room, we don't negotiate with the truth. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hi, welcome back. This week, Tucker Carlson announced that Biden is close to giving the World Health Organization power over every facet of your life, if you're an American. So it's looking very bad if you are going to be looking to a future run by the World Health Organization. We know they're unelected, and they're very much a club for the private elite. So what do we think about that bunch of criminals? Do we feel we're going to be looking forward to that?
Of course, with delight.
Well, yeah, I mean, I noticed that 125,000 people in the UK have just called for a referendum on this treaty. Around the world, people are saying enough's enough. You know, these so-called experts, they are true globalists, aren't they? They're not really accountable to anybody. From what I know, from the global warming work we've done over the years, we know climate scientists especially, they've been granted immunity from prosecution for any work they do for the UN. So it's they're beyond the reach of the law, aren't they? It's a case that you know, we're having to find new ways to hold these people accountable. And obviously, you can only hold them accountable in your own country. So we've got a lot of challenges.
Well, I kind of want to answer my own question that I asked in the previous hour. Yeah, because you're pointing out again about the inability to hold them accountable. And my question, you know, what happens when we expose things and it does nothing? At some point, here's my answer. At some point, we need power. It's power. What do these people have? They have power. And they have power over us because ultimately, what's the source of power in this world? In the modern times, I mean, if you go back to, you know, the United States Revolution, power was found in men being able to form together with guns. We can't really do that today effectively. It would be a solution if we could make it work. In the meantime, a better solution, easier solution, one that you're not going to be immediately SWAT teamed for, is acquiring power through money. Money does everything in this world. You can buy, you know, why don't we, on the enlightened side, why don't we get all together? Is there has to be people of us inside our whole movement, our whole, you know, way of thinking, that are in the stock market, in this sort of thing, and can make money. We need to make massive amounts of money, and we need to start buying our own politicians, because that's the way the world currently works. You simply buy politicians. Politicians aren't people. They're simply objects you buy. That's how we got to look at it, right? Maybe we can maybe we can put our own people in, but if we're going to put our own people in, we still need to purchase their position. We need to purchase their position through, you know, advertising and propaganda and all the same sort of stuff. That would be one way to do it. You need to acquire massive amounts of power, because right now we have massive amounts of power directed against us. To critique my own position on that, I would also point out, on the other hand, that the power that they are exerting and directing against us requires literally trillions and trillions of dollars in a global network, a global integrated network of electronics and propaganda, which costs them trillions of dollars a year to maintain. That's got to be rather difficult to maintain, and it's perhaps going to simply grow increasingly fragile as time goes on. Of course, they can keep on exerting more and more power. This is why they pass more and more laws about hate speech. You know, that would be the next step in their levels of control. Now they want hate speech laws to really just totally control what you say. And, you know, people like us would simply be, you know, put away for denying climate change and, you know, other things. So, yeah, it's a question. Will they be able to maintain their $1 trillion a year apparatus of control? Or, you know, our hope, you know, our strategy so far has been, the more and more people that wake up, the less stable their system will become, and it will collapse. And I think that's been our strategy so far. My worry is, gosh, what if it doesn't? What if we need to do more, and we need to secure our own power base? And that means securing our own, you know, money. Musk is great that he has billions of dollars, but really we need even more than that, you know?
Yeah. The other thing, obviously, is the issue of the societal collapse with the economy. I mean, the baby formula problem in America is reaching a real crisis point, isn't it? Where you, on the one hand, you've got Congress sending over $50 billion to Ukraine for more arms, and yet back home in America they can't even feed the babies. So, you know, the
again, I think that's on purpose. I think it's on purpose. So I think they could easily have had the formula. So this is like, they're telling people have expected too much, so they want people to feel scared about food short. What's worse than no food for babies? And again, for economic collapse, everyone I've listened to says this has been planned. How many of you listen to Catherine Austin Fitz?
Oh, I do.
Oh, I've listened to her for a decade.
Okay, she is brilliant, and she's saying this is all planned. Expect a collapse. They are doing this, and so the thing is, like, how do we best survive it? And and that they need the collapse, if I'm remembering her right, because they have stolen something like $135 trillion, and we're going to find out. So what they need to do is collapse the system, and so we can't see all they've stolen. So I don't know if that's it. I don't know. I don't know if our system is, our strategy of getting more and more people awake is going to work. All I know is the only thing that, you know, I can do, it's how to make myself stronger. How do I reach more people? And how do I hope for more lucky? Like, Musk is not the only mega billionaire around. And not all mega billionaires are bad people. Trump was another billionaire, and I don't mean he was all good. But there are a lot of, I think, people with money who are like, I don't think money makes you more evil than anything else. And about buying politicians, as far as I know, most of them have been blackmailed, not bought. And so I don't know if I really want to go into getting politicians in the compromising positions and stuff and then blackmailing them. It really feels like a horrible way to power.
Yeah, and I think that was the whole, I mean, I know my history, and Joe Olson probably knows as much as I do, maybe a lot more about the Hugh Hefner, going back to the Playboy Bunny Ranch, you know, the idea that you can bring in the honey trap. And it worked very well, because it turned out Hugh Hefner was an agent for the CIA, and he had cameras rigged up, and, you know, he was getting people, politicians and very famous people, to come into the Bunny Ranch, and sure enough, they would incriminate themselves, and it was a case of do as I say, otherwise you're ruined. And it doesn't change, does it? It's a time-honored tradition going way back to the Old Testament, doesn't it? It's just history repeats itself.
I'm just saying that this is not my route to taking over the world, blackmailing people for sexual behavior, misbehavior, or getting them to, you know, murder children and filming that and holding that against them. So now I've got to get, we need better strategies. Like I like Reiner Fulmich's strategy totally blows me away. Like arranging this and getting this grand jury and getting the word out massively. So I think each of us needs to find what's our way of making an impact. And it doesn't need to be on his scale, but within our own lives, you know, what little step can I take?
Reiner Fulmich is doing a good job, but he's using common law, the common law court forum he's using. It is okay to demonstrate a legal principle, but it's not valid in the sense that the accused on trial are not really defending themselves, are they? It's only limited insofar as you can show the evidence for a prosecution, but you're not showing the evidence for a defense.
But so, he's only one person. I'm not saying it's the answer, the same way as Peter McCullough and David Martin and Steve Kirsch. They're each only one person. So none of them has the whole answer. What the whole answer comes from us together, each finding what is it right for me to do. That was right for Reiner Fulmich to do. Steve Kirsch with, you know, his, you know, I'll give you $1 million if you can win in a debate against me. Well, I don't happen to have $1 million hanging around, but fabulous that he's got that strategy.
So I
am very much in what we're doing here. And with the TNT people, they are doing exactly that. Take the step that it's right for you to take, because look at what we built in 10 years. 10 years, none of this was around.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
10 years ago, there was no science print. There was no Canada Free Press maybe was starting. But basically, we have built an amazing structure, and they have had hundreds of years. We have had a couple of decades max.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I think the idea is that, like Joe Olson say to you, I got the idea 12 years ago that we had to come together and unite. There's only so much you can do as an individual, and you have to pick and choose who you ally yourself with. And I think that we were looking at small communities of people, and then you form one small community, one tribe, and then you look beyond that, you find another tribe that you can partner with. And hopefully over time, it organically grows into something that's extremely powerful. It's not unlike the idea of nation states. I mean, nation states is the ultimate tribe, isn't it? Where you grow so much to such an extent that you have a phenomenal power within yourself. And like Russia is showing today, Russia is reaching a point now where it's exerting its sovereignty to protect its own people in Donbass. Those of us who know the backstory will know that the war in Ukraine started, at least in 2014, with ethnic cleansing. You know, the idea that ethnic Russians in the eastern Ukraine were being persecuted. Effectively, I think it's roughly 15,000 have lost their lives from shelling and atrocities committed by Ukrainian forces. And, you know, Russia is reaching out to protect its own people. And I think this is what we have to do. We have to look closer to home. You know, we are, those of us who were awake to the danger of the vaccine, we're waking up our families, hopefully, trying to start from our local communities, our neighborhoods, and looking to, you know, give people an alternative, like you said, Elsa. You invite someone into your home and say, well, look at this video. You know, watch 2,000 Mules and see if you can change your opinion. These are
Let me steps. Tell you, it worked.
You said it worked, and I agree with you. Conversely, we failed as well. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, I've had, like most of us, we've had family rows where people in the family have said, oh, well, you know, you're a fool not to have your shot. You need to protect all of us. We're in danger by not wearing our masks. And, you know, we've all had our personal battles in this whole 2 year insanity of the pandemic. And, you know, I don't believe anybody's come through that unscathed. We've all had to face our own, you know, trials and tribulations with that. And it's still ongoing, isn't it?
But every time we fail, it's a learning experience. So I'm thinking about somebody who started, like many of us, sending like 30 articles to anybody whom she made a dent on. Well, she's learned that doesn't work. But what she has now, she's learned that the best thing is to ask people a couple of questions. And then they start asking her and she'll give them one article. And that this is 10 times more effective than, you know, giving her biggest reading list. And, you know, the whole thing about how can you get somebody, do you have any curiosity? What would get you to wake up? Et cetera, et cetera. And I have found that what's really most effective is I will watch something with someone, even if I've watched it before. Because if I ask somebody to watch something where they have a barrier, chances are partway through they will stop watching. But if they're with me, they're going to go past their inner barrier and they will learn. That's my experience.
Yeah, I think we've lost that old tradition where we sit around the family dining table. I remember previous generations would have breakfast together, they'd have dinner together, and you would just, you know, talk the talk, you know, pass the time of day. And that was, you know, incrementally learning about what's going on in the real world. But now we're all in our rooms and our own little environments, and we're not really sharing enough as much as we should. And everything is polarized, isn't it? Polarization of opinion is anathema to debate, and everybody's reactionary. Too many people are, you know, especially on the left, you find the left are calling anybody who disagrees with them a fascist or a Nazi. And ironically, in Ukraine, it's the opposite. You know, you find that the Zelensky regime are the true Nazis, and the Russians, if anything, just want self-determination. So, you know, it's a crazy topsy-turvy world we're living in, and we have to find a way to navigate it somehow. But Elsa, we're coming to the last minute or so of the program. You know, give us a little shout out to what you do. I mean, we've mentioned truthsummit.info. What other projects are you involved in?
Well, there's Full Flourishing. And if anyone's interested in personal growth, and I have a 10-minute video on my process towards creating that, from finding that nothing was adequate, because all the personal growth stuff was about feeling and mine is also about thinking. So I also, by the way, I also do a lot of poetry writing, and that ties back to my father, who was also a thinker and left a whole box of poetry. Not that he influenced me in any way, but about 1994, I started waking up with poems in my head. So I don't think this is where you expected the answer to go, but it is part of my answer. Find out what is right for you. And when an impulse hits you, unless it's evil, go with it. So in 1994, there I was with a brand new doctorate in hand, and there I had my tenure track teaching, and I started waking up with poems, the starts of poems in my head. Now, I could have just turned it off. How stupid. But instead, I wrote it down. And in the end of a month, I had 19 poems that I followed the words. And I have kept writing, and I have books even of love poems out. And I will say that for people, flourish fully. That is the biggest thing that I'm about. Find what is right for you. Find what is right for you politically, in terms of love, in terms of work. And sometimes you have to do things you don't really want to, but always take steps towards what you love. Okay, does that, I think that's
great, Elsa. That's wonderful. We're going to have you back hopefully next week. It's been a wonderful conversation, Elsa. I really enjoyed talking to you. So from Joe Olson, Joe Postman, and me, Sky Dragon Slaying, thank you. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.